Yes, g'day everyone. It is Thursday, August 11, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever or however you are listening. And we've got a big morning coming up with Blocker, of course, between 7 and 8. Four rounds to go before the finals in the NRL. And what a game we got tonight. Penrith up against the Melbourne Storm, the 2020 grand finalists. And since that match where Melbourne won 26-20, the Panthers have won three of the last four. Including, well, the biggest of those matches, certainly last year's preliminary final, which was 10-6 to the Panthers. And some build-up to this game. Ivan Cleary yesterday described Storm chairman Matt Tripp's comments, and Tripp labelled them an arrogant club, as absolutely unfair. Ivan Cleary said, Cleary added that, you know, they're probably not perfect, but would like to think they're doing a decent job. And tonight, the Panthers $1.55 with Tab. Melbourne $2.45, 4.5 the line, and Storm the plus. Loz, a morning to you, mate. Love a bit of rivalry, a few barbs thrown into a lead up to a game like this.
Yeah, it certainly adds to the contest, doesn't it? The build up, and you know, I'm sure that Ivan Cleary wants to protect his club and protect his players, and he's gone about it in a professional manner. And Matt Tripp, he's protecting his club. You know, he gets disappointed every time they talk about Melbourne Storm as being a team that, you know, started the wrestle and all these other manoeuvres that clubs are now using. So he took offence to that. So it just is a bit more intriguing leading into the contest, but it should be a wonderful game. You know, both clubs are missing key players, so that sort of takes away from it a little bit. There's no Cleary and Luai for Penrith. There's no Jerome Hughes for Melbourne Storm. And both Hughes and Cleary, they mean so much to their respective teams. But this will be a good game. Melbourne will need to win if they're to keep their top four hopes alive. Penrith will finish on top of the competition table. They've been the most dominant team this season by far. Had a few little issues towards the back end of the season with players getting injured and spending a few weeks on the sideline with suspension, but you know, if they come back fully fit, they're going to be mighty hard to beat.
And they get Justin Olam back, the Storm, as well. He's always been one of your favourites, hasn't he?
Oh, I just love the way he goes about it. Anyone that gives his heart and soul every time he runs out onto the football field, you've got to admire. And, you know, he's got an error in him, Justin Olam, whether it's a defensive read or whether it comes up with a, you know, a mistake while carrying it. While carrying the ball, but he just does everything at 100 miles an hour. And that's what I like about him. He'd be a teammate you'd love to play with because you can accept that he's going to make a mistake, but it's through enthusiasm and it's through just having a crack.
Nick Kyrgios in action at the moment, and he's in a tiebreak in his second round match there in the ATP event in Montreal. And so tiebreak first set, and he's down 2-1. As he's just served and he's just a little backhand volley has just gone out. So he's trailing 3-1 against Medvedev. Alex de Minaur also in action this morning, in fact, as well. He's up against Grigor Dimitrov and very early in their contest as well. And I'll have some scores for you. In fact, de Minaur, it's 4-4 in the first set in their game as well. In fact, Dimitrov up 40 love on serve, so about to go ahead 5-4. Great news story yesterday in regards to the Opals. Lauren Jackson, 41 years of age. She was retired for more than 5 years and she hasn't played for Australia for 9 years. Well, Opals coach Sandy Brondello zoomed her and told her that she's going to be in the squad of 12 for next month's World Cup in Sydney. It's a great story. This is probably underplayed, this story, Loz.
Oh, it's a wonderful comeback from Lauren Jackson. You know, she retired and all of a sudden she's coming back to her, what, fifth World Cup. She's been an amazing player, possibly our greatest ever women's player. And she now comes back. She had to retire because her body was breaking down on her. But she come back in Albury late last year. She played with the Bandits there and she's dominated and then, of course, has been selected for the Australian side. So I'm really excited for her and really looking forward to seeing her play. And I'm sure that, you know, they wouldn't have just put her in the team for a token selection. She would have had to earn it. Mm. And this is a remarkable story. One of the great all-time comebacks from any sports person.
And she's got a 5 and a 3-year-old boy as well. So, yeah, fantastic story that, no doubt about it. Now, just on the text line, we're getting some text through, audio missing from the Tab app. Again, we'll get the text onto it. So apologies for that. But hopefully we can sort that out. Now, media conference yesterday, Loz, Paul Gallen standing in the middle of Justin Hodges and Ben Hennett. And we'll play some audio from that news conference a bit later this morning. But it's all set to go ahead. Brisbane's Thursday, September 15. And it seems it'll be Ben Hennett, then a 60-minute break for Gallen, then Hodges. Which... yeah, well, not ideal. We're saying go one straight after the other because he won't want to cool down.
No, that's the hardest thing. Anyone will tell you, in, as a professional sportsman, when you cool down, and in particular you cool down for an hour, the lactic acid and your fatigue, your muscles start to get sore, and then he's got to try and work himself back up into a frenzy to take on Justin Hodges. He'll be there to take his head off. So that is going to be difficult for Gal. But knowing him, I'm sure he'll, you know, we'll prepare for that. He'll make sure he does all the work. He'll do his sparring sessions like that, I'm assuming, that he'll spar someone, then have a rest, come back and do it. But again, it still puts him at risk of losing. But from what I've seen of Gal boxing compared to Ben Hennett and Justin Hodges, Gal just wins every day of the week. But you never know in this scenario.
Surely. No, surely. I think he's got both covered pretty comfortably. In fact, there, Paul Gallen. Now, Gowie's not on this morning, but I'll have his tips. He's got a flight. But Josh Reynolds will be just after 6 o'clock. He actually sent me a video last night. He thought he'd found Clarkie's boat, and I told him it wasn't big enough. And Clarkie's in Paris. So we'll speak to Josh just after 6 o'clock this morning. And he can tell you in his own words as well about that report that was linking him to the Bulldogs. Came out last Thursday night, our time after we'd spoken to him on the Thursday. But obviously we're pretty biased because we love Josh, but she would love to see him get 1 year back at his old club.
Yeah, I think he'd be good value. And again, you're getting an experienced player and he'd be someone that you would possibly play as that utility. You know, he'd have to come back and he'd be on the back foot, so to speak, in terms of trying to get that six jersey, but he'd be someone in the club that you could rely on to fill in positions throughout the season, but definitely be that utility. Yeah, great club man. That's the other thing about him. He brings people together. He's fun. He's a professional. He trains really hard. You know, knows when to have a good time when he's away from the training paddock. And you need guys like that in your football team. You need guys that are all about the team first, rather than the individual. And Josh is one of those players. He always has been. And he likes to make sure that the team comes together. Whatever team he plays in, they have a bit of fun socially as well.
Now, South's story on the front page of the paper. Our man D Bulldog Richie's co-written, "Bring our burrow back east." Now, South, so the Telegraph saying that the state government is refusing to approve the move from Homebush to the new Sydney Football Stadium, or Allianz Stadium. And the chief executive, Blake Solly, he's voiced his frustration in this article, saying the club has, quotes, bucket loads of uncertainty, is his quote there. South's made a call to move after the government withdrew funding for an upgrade of a core stadium. Interested to know what South fans want. And I'm sure we've asked this to our listeners before, but because it has been shown in the past, Loz, a lot of their membership comes from areas in the western suburbs of Sydney.
Well, wasn't it sold to us that that's why they were going out
initially
to the then ANZ Stadium? The fact that their membership base was very broad?
It was part of the sell. Money was certainly the reason.
Well, I'm assuming the sell was, that I can remember, because we've got such a massive and a broad membership base, you know, we need to get away from the east because it's easier for our fans to travel to ANZ Stadium. I don't think anyone ever believed that. While they've got a lot of members, I think most people thought that Allianz Stadium, or at the Sydney Football Stadium, was the place for South Sydney to play. That was their spiritual home, so to speak. I mean, you got Redfern just down the road, but that was the stadium that I thought most people wanted them to play in. But they've been there a while now. Oh, look, I think it'd be a better stadium to play footy in.
Well, you want to use the new facilities, well,
you want the new facilities.
And at the end of the day, South's spiritual home is Redfern, which is five minutes down the road.
Well, ANZ Stadium's great when there's 70,000 people there. You know, but if you're only getting 10,000 people, it can look a bit bare. So going back to the footy stadium, I think South would love to be back there. But obviously, the stadiums and the government and the NRL at the moment are trying to work their way around a lot of different issues. So I don't think it's just as easy as signing off and saying, well, yes, you can go back there and play, because you need content out there at Homebush as well. And Souths are a major tenant. So I don't know how it all unfolds over the coming weeks, but what you do want as a South Sydney supporter, because your memberships are going on sale soon for next season, you want to be able to sell them knowing where you're playing. So people, if they get the opportunity to buy their membership or take up their membership again, they want to know where they're going to watch their team play.
And the state government saying, well, hang on, you did commit to staying at a core stadium until 2030, only I think it was a matter of 12 months ago, but Blake Solly and South are going, well, yes, we did that on the proviso that a core stadium would be upgraded. And naturally, due to COVID, floods, etc., some things have changed in the state government budget and the money hasn't been allocated for that. So now Souths have made their intentions known. They want to go to the new Allianz Stadium, set to be opened shortly. And, yeah, I mean, in the subject of suburban crowns, and there is nothing worse than seeing a core stadium, which, you know, been a great facility, but seeing 10,000 in there or 15,000 in there regularly for clubs when, you know, they're trying to make it look more full by putting Bulldogs or, you know, Souths in big letters over seats on the top level. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't create a great atmosphere.
No, exactly right. And you watch...
Looks ordinary on TV.
Well, you watch football, or if you've gone to any games at Combank Stadium, you can have 10 or 15,000 in that particular venue, and the noise which is created is massive. And I'm assuming the same will be for this new stadium, whereas ANZ, if you haven't got at least 25, 30,000 people in there, that atmosphere is not there. So I can understand why Souths are maybe looking to go and use the new venue, but it's a difficult situation that they're in at the moment, because they feel as though they're in between the government and the NRL's fight for the upgrades of suburban stadiums, and they're caught in the middle. But I'm assuming most fans would prefer to go to the new stadium rather than the ANZ stadium. There's a lot of people that travel from the east to go to the games, but there's also people that travel from the bush that go to games. So I'd be interested in their thoughts, what they want to do, but it sounds like the club want to go back to having a base in the eastern suburbs.
And Rooster Dan had just having a little crack at the Souths fans here. Love the show. Just on the new stadium, there's no chance in the world we want the Wabbits calling our home ground their home, says Rooster Dan. But 0419 767 272 on the text line, 1353 53. Now, back page of the Daily Telegraph today. Backs to the wall. Salary cap chaos may bite Sharks finals campaign is the headline there. And just Cronulla, they got quite a few players, particularly in their outside backs, who are free to test the open market from November 1, heading into the final year of their deals next season. And they are, well, Sifa Talakai, who's just coming off of Origin appearances, the wingers, Sione Katoa, Ronaldo Mulitalo, and also Jesse Ramien, who's been fantastic for them this year, I reckon. And Will Kennedy, who, you know, you started to put him, well, not quite as valuable as Dylan Edwards. When are you talking... output for value of player, Will Kennedy is producing.
Well, that's what you have to get as a talent spotter, and as a club, you need to have those players that play above their value. The only issue is then is when they're off contract, their value goes through the roof. And when you're playing in a winning team like the Sharks are at the moment, you tend to get recognised a little bit more. And, you know, guys like Will Kennedy, Talakai, Katara on the wing, and Ronaldo and Jesse Ramien are all playing good football. Some saving grace for the Sharks will be the fact that Andrew Fifita is expected to retire, and he's on a big chunk of money. I think they're saying he's on over $800,000. Wade Graham is another player on a big amount of money, $800,000. So I'm assuming if Wade goes around again, it's possibly for
big cut
for 1 year, but there'll be a massive haircut there. So that frees up a little bit of money, but you're still trying to sort of fit five guys in. So they might have to release one or two players if they, you know, want what they're worth on the open market. But that always happens with a successful club, and the Sharks are feeling the pinch at the moment because of their good form.
In the Sydney Morning Herald, Andrew Johns's column under the headline, "Why one of the most intelligent players in the NRL is one you wouldn't expect." And he's talking about Sean O'Sullivan and just says his footy IQ is off the charts, and he has no qualms in saying that he's the most intelligent player in the game. We haven't seen, obviously, a lot of him at first grade level, but gee, every time he's stepped up, Loz, he has been more than capable, and the Dolphins look like they might have a pretty good one.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming Joey must have worked with him because, look, I see Sean O'Sullivan play, and I think he's a solid player, does his job, understands the game really well. He's not an electric type player, but I'm assuming Joey has worked with him, spoke to him about football, and I'll take him on his word. But that's high praise indeed from a number seven, as good as Andrew Johns was, to say that he's the smartest. But they've got a lot of good players in that Penrith team, and I think they all just work together. And I think Isaiah Yeo is one that has certainly impressed me over the last couple of years. And you speak to guys that played with him in the rep sides, he's so important to that Penrith team and the way he operates and the way he communicates. So I think he's the one that sort of holds them together from the outside looking in for me. I think without him there, they would then have the issue of, you know, halves maybe struggling a bit more than what they are when a Cleary's not there or a Luai's not there.
Front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Gee, the golf world is just spinning at the moment with what's going on. And Smith circles Sharks bait is the headline there. Cameron Smith looks set to accept a lucrative offer to join Greg Norman's Saudi-funded Rebel Tour. Front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Back page of the Australian. Smith hits out at new report of Liv deal. Aussie star focuses on playoffs. And yesterday, ahead of the St Jude Championship, the first tournament in the FedEx Cup playoffs, Cameron Smith spoke, and he said if there's something he needs to say regarding the PGA Tour or Liv, it'll come from, well, in his words, Cameron Smith, not Cameron Percy. And, of course, Aussie Cameron Percy on Melbourne Radio this week basically said they're gone to Liv in regards to Cameron Smith and also Mark Leishman. Also, Matt Jones in the news as well. So the Aussie, along with Americans Taylor Gooch and Hudson Swafford, lost a court action against the PGA Tour, which has banned the trio for joining Liv. The three had hoped to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs, with that tournament starting later tonight our time. And Rory McIlroy, who's been staunch in his opposition of Liv all the way through, just says common sense has prevailed. So this is starting to get ugly, Loz. But Cameron Smith, and we look at him and think, you know, how much of a cool, calm and collected dude he looks, and even he's starting to get a little bit annoyed by it all.
Well, I said at the start, with the amount of money that the Liv guys have got at their disposal, the PGA Tour should have started to speak to them to come to some sort of arrangement. Otherwise, with the deep pockets, they will continue to just steal players from the PGA, and at some point in time, they're going to have to come together. And they could have stopped a lot of heartache and pain for a lot of people. And I think that eventually they will. Hmm. But sometimes they don't see it. And sometimes they're ignorant and think that no one else is going to run this sport. And I get and I understand where the traditionalists come from. But when you're coming up against a juggernaut like they are with deep pockets and they're not going away, it's going to be hard to beat them in the end.
Hmm.